There you have it, the account of the first murder ever perpetrated in the history of the human race. It didn't take long to happen. It happened early in the first generation. We're often reminded that ideas have consequences. Well, so does sin. Sin also has its consequences. Sin certainly broke up the unity and the harmony of that first earthly family. And sin certainly bent out of shape and destroyed the whole meaning and connotation of the word brother. The word brother occurs for the first time in the second verse of the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. By the time you get to the 11th verse of chapter 4, the word brother has been applied seven times to Abel's relationship to Cain. Abel is repeatedly referred to as Cain's brother, and Cain is repeatedly reminded of the fact that Abel is his brother. The Lord had told our first parents that they were taken as dust out of the ground, and to the ground they would return as dust. That's the wages of sin. In the case of Abel, even his blood, the blood shed at the hands of his brother, returned to the ground. That wasn't the wages of sin. That was the work of sin. That was the work inspired by Satan himself. But this morning, we're not so much concerned with the sin of a murdered brother. This morning, we would rather turn our attention to the lesson appointed to be read from the New Testament. It's appointed to be read from the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. Today, we turn our attention rather to that great Christian brotherhood and sisterhood of the redeemed in Christ. Today, we want to look at brothers and sisters who do not murder each other. Today, we look at those brothers and sisters in Christ who, because they are in Christ, love each other. We turn our attention away today from the earthly family of the first Adam, and we look toward the heaven-born family of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, the family of God, those sons and those daughters who are God's sons and daughters in Christ. So listen, therefore, to the words of our text for the morning as it is addressed, or as they are addressed, to the beloved children of God in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. This then is our text. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. It's nothing new. It's no later addition. It's no later addition. It was right there from the beginning. Up our case. How the Apostle John loved that phrase. How he loved the word, arche. John likes to go right back to the beginning, to the very origin of things, to the very root from which all else proceeds. John is, as it were, searching out the ultimate point of reference, beyond which human thought cannot probe. He does this as he begins his gospel. In the beginning, N-R-K, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John does exactly the same thing as he begins his first epistle. That which was from the beginning, up-R-K, that which we have heard, which our eyes have seen, which we have beheld, our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. And all through chapter 2 and chapter 3 of this first epistle of his, he continues to use that little phrase, up our case. In chapter 2, verse 7, he very interestingly reminds us of the old commandment, which we have heard, up our case, from the beginning. What is this old commandment he speaks of? He says this, the old commandment is the word which you have heard, and you heard it, up our case, from the beginning. In chapter 3, when he traces out the root of sin in the history of man, he tells us in chapter 3, verse 8, that Satan, the devil, has sinned up our case from the beginning. And then finally, in the words of our text, he reminds us, this is the message you have heard up our case from the beginning. Now, the point of 1 John 3:11 is simply this. The message, the simple message that we should love one another was right there from the beginning. Too bad if we didn't see it. Where the gospel is, there is also this implication that we should love one another. There is no gospel where this implication is not found. In 1 John 3, verse 23, the apostle reminds us, and this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Right at the very base, at the very foundation, at the very beginning of the gospel, is this message of the relationship that should exist within the Christian brotherhood. That you should love one another that is in, and that's with, and that's under the gospel. And don't you dare try to separate it from the gospel, or you'll destroy the gospel just like the sacramentarians destroyed the sacrament. Consider what John says in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's the gospel. God loved us. God sent his Son to be the redemption, the Redeemer, to be the one who puts off the wrath of God because of our sins. But then he continues, beloved, you who know this love, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. For John, where this immediate implication of the gospel is not present, the gospel has not done its work. John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Having made the point, the apostle goes on in our text to remind us that the specific love of which he is speaking is a love that is peculiar to, because it is restricted to, the Church of Jesus Christ. Only those who know God's love for them in Christ Jesus can in turn be fit instruments for the outworking of the same love in their lives and the overspilling of that love into the lives of their brothers and sisters, the world which crucified the Savior, the world which opposes his church, the world which doesn't even recognize the sons and the daughters of God, that world knows nothing of this love. To know the love of which John speaks, you must know Christ and you must know his love. In our text, Cain is singled out to illustrate this very point. We should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and who slew his brother. It is interesting that in all of Holy Scripture, Cain is never once specifically referred to as Abel's brother. On the other hand, Scripture continually refers to Abel as Cain's brother. Now, of course, we all know that they both had the same father and the mother. They were biologically brothers. But yet, this precious title of brother is repeatedly given to Abel, but continually withheld from Cain. Now, the reason, of course, for this reticence of Holy Writ to call Cain a brother is obvious. How can we call Cain Abel's brother when he was in fact his murderer? Cain didn't love Abel. Cain hated him. In the words of our text, everyone that hates his brother is a murderer. Brothers do not hate brothers. Oh, maybe they do in the world, but certainly not in the church, which Jesus brought into being through his own love. Brothers do not murder brothers or destroy brothers. Well, maybe they do in the world, but not in the church, which Jesus bought at the price of his own blood. You see, there's a great difference between this present evil world and the church of Jesus Christ, and the Apostle John never lets us forget it. For the Apostle John, this great divide within humanity is already present and in view in the account we have of Cain and Abel. For John, the distinction between the world and the church is the distinction between the children of the devil and the children of God. It's the distinction between those who are of the wicked one and those who are born of God. It's the distinction between those who walk in darkness and those who walk in light. It's the distinction between those who hate and those who love. It's the distinction between those who do not practice righteousness and those who do righteousness. It's the distinction between those who abide in death and are against life and are for death and those who abide in life and support life and oppose death. Our text began by reminding us of the message which has been right there in the gospel, right from the beginning. As Christians who have been blessed by the hearing of the gospel and who have been blessed with a knowledge of the Savior, we have both the ability and the responsibility to love one another. And then our text concludes on this same theme of loving one another, only this time it addresses us in verse 18 as little children. Little children, let us not love one another with word and with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Technia. From tic-toe, to bear, to beget, with the little children that God has born, that God has begotten. And that's not bad. We're still little children. There's still hope. We're still malleable. So let's put away the lip service love. Let's put away the word games about love. Yes, we're little children yet. We can still be formed. We can still be shaped. So let's move on to the real thing, the true love that shows that we are really one in Christ, in deed and in truth. The loving Christ who lived for us and died for us and still lives for us has, by his grace, called us out of the kingdom of death and into his kingdom of life. And we know for a fact that he has done so. How do we know? We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. May our lives be so directed by his grace that they may ever flow out and into the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the lives of our brothers and sisters in the world everywhere, through God's ordained channel, the great and wonderful path of Christian love. Amen.